Jean. They actually came to church this evening, and Norma Jean is continuing to struggle with some of the blood sugar issues, and she had eaten some things and thought that that would help her, but they arrived, and she was still not feeling well, and so they ended up turning around and going back home. And so if you'd pray for Don and Norma Jean, I know they'd appreciate that. And Philemon, of course, we've been studying here for a number of weeks now. This is lesson number 6, and so we have gone through the first 14 verses in our previous text of Scripture. Last week, we looked at verses 8 through 14, and as we looked at that passage of Scripture, we really mentioned how that Paul begins to make an appeal, if you will, a plea to Philemon with regard to Onesimus. He's going to bring to the attention of Philemon, really the great purpose of this book. And we know that as Paul is making this appeal to Philemon, that he has revealed to Philemon that Onesimus trusted Christ as his Savior. And what a great blessing that is. And I mentioned last week, as you look at verse number 10, that Paul says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." And I mentioned how that even in times of adversity and difficulty, when we're dealing with circumstances that are less than desirable from our perspective, that as we yield ourselves to Christ, that He will still use us for His honor and for His glory. And every day isn't going to be your best day, but every day God is on His throne, amen? And we find that even when we're in circumstances such as Paul, he says, "I was in my bonds, I was imprisoned, but yet Onesimus trusted Christ as his Savior." And I'm so thankful for the perspective of the Apostle Paul and how God would use him. Of course, Onesimus, as he mentions in the text of Scripture, he was unprofitable to Philemon. But now, after he's been saved, after he's been redeemed, Paul says he's now profitable to thee. And what a blessing to think about times past, but now, and understanding how that God changes us, and we are new creatures. Philemon had been forgiven by the Lord. Onesimus now has been forgiven by the Lord. And now the real truth of the book, the difficulty, if you will, from a human perspective, is that now Philemon, who had experienced the forgiveness of God, is now going to have to practice forgiveness and forgiving Onesimus. The reality that is before us, and we've spoken about this before, that two pillars of biblical Christianity are forgiveness and reconciliation. And I'm so thankful for those pillars of biblical Christianity, and I'm thankful that there's forgiveness with the Lord. As I thought about this kind of introduction into the text that we'll deal with this evening, I thought about the, if we want to look at it from the perspective of maybe the theory of forgiveness, the discussion of forgiveness, it really is easy for us to talk about forgiveness. It's easy for us to understand the principle of forgiveness, the admonition that we've been given scripturally with regard to forgiving one another. But the reality is that we, as the people of God, it's not just theory. Forgiveness should be practiced in our lives. We should be people that forgive. Why? Because we have been forgiven. That's the truth of Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. And we ended last Wednesday evening by looking at that verse of Scripture where the Bible says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And we find that, I would say this admittedly this evening, that there at times we could find the subject of forgiveness to be quite difficult for us. And I would say this, that forgiveness is difficult, especially for us if we're operating in the flesh. But when we're dead to self, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, then God enables us to forgive. And what a joy and what a blessing. And as we understand that Paul has given, he started this appeal, he's now going to conclude his appeal. I want you to notice the last phrase of verse number 17. We'll use it for our title this evening. Paul says, "Receive him as myself." Receive him. That's Onesimus. Receive him in the same manner that you would receive me, Philemon. Receive him as myself. If you're taking notes, I want you to notice, first of all, the perspective of Paul. Often as you study the Scriptures in the New Testament, God gives us an opportunity to read of really many things with regard to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And as you study the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, when you study the interactions and that Paul has with other churches and individuals, you have the opportunity to get a little bit of a glimpse of the perspective that Paul had in life. And we find that as we look at these verses of Scripture, I believe that Paul is sharing with us, and of course with Philemon, this perspective that he has, and perhaps even as we consider the perspective of Paul, that we would be mindful of how important it is that we would understand where did he get that perspective. And Paul gets the perspective that he has as we look throughout the Scriptures by abiding in Christ. Paul was a man that walked with God. Paul was a man that was surrendered to the Lord. Paul was a man, he wrote, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, he wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. If he really wasn't, God wouldn't have permitted him to write it. Amen? And so he is a man that's walking. He's not perfect, none of us are, but he's a man that's surrendered to the Lord, that's walking with God, and that no doubt forms and helps frame his perspective of life. Notice, I want you to consider his perspective regarding the circumstances faced, the circumstances that Philemon was dealing with. Notice in verse number 15, notice what Paul says. "For perhaps he," this is Onesimus, "for perhaps he," Onesimus, "therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." Begin to think about the perspective of Paul in verse number 15, and I begin to understand that Paul is not seeking to sugarcoat that. He's not denying the fact that Onesimus departed. But he says, "Perhaps he," Onesimus, "therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." Yes, indeed, Onesimus had departed, and that was unfortunate, and it was also costly. We understand as we go through the entirety of this short epistle that it was costly to Philemon, but the reality is that it was just a season. Think about this as Paul makes this statement that he departed for a season, thou shouldest receive him forever. I think about the looking beyond the immediate, acknowledging God's work. Sometimes what happens in life is we get so caught up in the season, right? And the season is but for a season. Right? It shall come to pass. I think about the believers that Peter is writing to, and Peter's telling them that they're dealing with some difficulty, no doubt. They're dealing with some opposition, and they're dealing with some persecution. But the reality is that it's just for a season. It's not going to be forever. It is going to come to an end. And we begin to think about how Paul, when he mentions about he has this eternal perspective in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. He's not looking at just the temporary, he's looking at the eternal. And as he begins to share his perspective with Philemon, he says, "Listen, I understand that he departed for a season. But that season has now come to an end because Onesimus got saved and he's returning to you." Remember, we dealt with that in the last text. And so what happened for a season cannot control our forever. Does that make sense this evening? Sometimes what happens is we get so caught up in the season, we get so busy living in the past season that we can't really do in the present what God wants us to do. Why? Because we're too busy living in the past. And Paul doesn't deny the fact that Philemon departed, but he's sharing here a perspective with regard to the circumstances that were faced. And I believe that it's helpful for us to acknowledge God's hand at work and God's ability to work. Listen, indeed, there are times in life when we make poor decisions. There are times in life when others that we love make poor decisions. And sometimes those decisions, of course, we understand decisions always have consequences, but the reality is that in spite of the decisions, God can still work, right? Sometimes we forget that. Our God is able to work in spite of our bad decisions. Aren't you thankful for that, by the way? Because there's not one in here, including myself, that's not made a bad decision. And with God, there's forgiveness. With God, there's the opportunity to see Him work and to see Him glorified. And so we find here that Paul is giving us a perspective with regard to looking, if you will, beyond the immediate, really not living in the past and dealing with what happened. I can almost think about myself in this situation, and perhaps this evening, if you'd put yourself in the text of Scripture, you're Philemon, you've been wronged. You have the law on your side. This guy's cost you some money, and now he's coming back. And Paul's saying, don't worry about what happened in the past. Really? Paul's giving him a perspective to help him in his current situation. Notice not only the perspective of Paul with regard to the circumstances faced, but I also believe that we see a perspective of Paul with regard to the conversion of Onesimus. Notice in verse number 16, he says this, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, he's saying here with regard to the conversion of Onesimus, we've already mentioned it, we dealt with it more entirely last week from verse number 10, but we find that Paul is now saying, listen, he left you as a servant, but he's coming back above a servant. He still has that responsibility as a servant. That has not changed. But understand that now, because of what happened, because God was able to work in those circumstances, because God's purpose is greater than any of us, and we find that here, this man Onesimus trusts Christ, and now Paul says, listen, he is a brother beloved. Man, this is wonderful when you think about Paul giving this appeal and really giving this plea to Philemon with regard to Onesimus. Notice what Paul says. Not only is he a brother beloved, but notice Paul says this, especially to me. Now think about that, because Paul had mentioned earlier how that he had really had the mind to keep him, but he would not keep him without the mind of Philemon. Notice in verse number 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He says, but without thy mind would I do nothing in verse number 14. And so Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon in order to have this relationship dealt with the way that it's supposed to be. And we find that Paul, however, though, he says to Philemon, this man is a brother beloved and especially to me. But then notice what he says at the end of verse number 16. But how much more unto thee? How? Seriously? I mean, look, think about it from Philemon's perspective. And see, Paul is giving this charge, this appeal, but really packaging wonderfully in this appeal to Philemon some biblical truth that ought to be evidences in the lives of God's people. Remember, Philemon, it's already been said of him that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ and he loved all the saints. But now here comes a test. Because he was a servant that ran away. But now he's returning as a saint. And Paul says, listen, he is a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And what great perspective that Paul is sharing here, not only for Philemon given the current circumstances, but I believe for us as well. As we begin to go through life, the reality is that there are going to be times in our lives in which people will hurt us. There will be times in our lives, just like it's easy for us many times to share as someone else is dealing with great difficulty, the truth of Romans 8:28, and we say, hey, listen, brother, we know that God works all things for good, right? But when we're going through the situation, man, we just somehow can't remember Romans 8:28. When somebody else is dealing with a great difficulty, such as what we're looking at in the book of Philemon contextually with the forgiveness, we can give somebody counsel with regard to forgiveness. But oh, how important for us to practice forgiveness in our own lives, and to gain this perspective that Paul is sharing in verses 15 and 16. And I see not only a perspective of Paul, but I want you to notice in verse number 17, if you're taking notes, I just have said this about verse number 17, the sincerity of Paul. I want you to think about Paul in this situation. Again, I don't know how long Paul had the opportunity to minister to Onesimus. Obviously, God allowed it to be such that Onesimus crossed paths with Paul while he was in prison, and Paul led him to Christ, and there's some level of discipleship, training, teaching. Something has gone on because there's some relationship here where Paul is able to speak very highly of this man Onesimus, and Paul has great confidence that this man Onesimus is going to be a blessing to you, Philemon. There's something that he's observed in the life of Onesimus that's caused him, Paul, to have this sincerity and this confidence with regard to the message that he's sending back to Philemon. You ever hear somebody say something like this when they talk about somebody getting saved, and they'll say something to this thing, they really got saved. And you kind of like, you know, anyone that gets saved really got saved, but you kind of understand what somebody means when they say it that way. And really they're talking about how somebody that was just completely out of church, not reading the Bible, not talking anything, just about the Lord, filthy language, whatever, and how they get saved. And man, they're in church all the times the doors are open and they're reading their Bible every day and they're praying and you're like, man, they really got saved. You understand what I'm saying? And I think that if I could use that expression that we've heard and used perhaps in our own lives, that I think Paul sees that kind of genuine conversion in Onesimus. And Paul has this great level of sincerity with regard to the message that he's delivering to Philemon, but also with regard to Onesimus as an individual brother. See, Paul is serious about the subject of forgiveness and reconciliation. Paul's serious about that. Notice, keep your place here in the book of Philemon, but turn over to the book of Galatians, if you will. Look in Galatians chapter number 6. In Galatians chapter number 6, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bearing one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." And he talks about if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But I want you to think about that phrase in verse number 1 when he talks about ye that are spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. See, as Paul is writing to Philemon, the reality as we would look at the book of Philemon is it would seem abundantly clear and obvious that Philemon is the more mature saint, right? He's the one that he's been saved longer. We find that he's loving the Lord, he's loving the saints, he's obviously Paul talks about not only hearing of his love but also of his faith in verse number 5 of the book of Philemon. And so we find that it seems as if Philemon has been a man that has been walking with God, he's growing, and so Paul is now saying to him, listen, you now have a responsibility with this subject of forgiveness and reconciliation. This man Onesimus, yes, he left you, and this is a difficulty that came in your life, but he's a brother now. He's been saved. So I think about this, for somebody in the church that wasn't Philemon, maybe they'd have a better time receiving Onesimus. What do I mean by that? Well, someone that wasn't hurt personally by Onesimus, then Onesimus comes back to the church, and the church is like, oh yeah, welcome him in, man, he's gotten saved. But because Philemon has that personal connection to Onesimus, there's a little bit more of a difficulty. Now, we don't read a response from Philemon in the book, and so I'm just trying to look at the book from how I might receive it or how you might receive it. Because the reality is that it's easy for me to say to somebody else that's been hurt by someone to just forgive them. restore them, and then I'm the one that gets hurt by the individual, and then they're coming to me saying, well, forgive them, restore them, right? You understand. And so as we look at the book and we look at this charge that Paul is giving, I see there's a level of sincerity that he is very serious about this matter of forgiveness and reconciliation. But we also see that Paul, he's serious about this man Onesimus. And notice what he says, if thou count me therefore a partner. Now, Paul makes that statement in verse number 17, and that word partner carries with it the idea of being a friend or a companion. And the way it's written in the original language, and you can't really, there's some means in which you can write in certain languages that things are inferred or implied, and it doesn't really carry over into a translation, and we understand that, but really what's implied by the structure of the statement in verse number 17 is, if thou count me therefore a partner, and I know you do, receive him as myself. Receive him as myself. Then Paul says to Philemon, receive Onesimus in the same way you would receive me. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. And I want you to think about Philemon. And because we're in this building, we'll use this as our example. And Philemon is standing here at the front of the church. And Paul walks through the back doors. How do you think Philemon would respond? How do you think Paul would respond? It would be maybe something that we could refer to as a great reunion, a level of excitement. You think about it in your own life. When there's a brother, a sister in Christ, someone within the family of God, someone within our church family that hasn't been able to be here for a season. Maybe they've dealt with some health issues. Maybe there's been some other things going on. Ronnie wasn't able to be here for a period of time because of his mom and so on and so forth. And man, when Ronnie came back, man, we're excited to see him. Right? There's some missionaries that come that we haven't seen for a while, and you're excited to see them. I was at a pastor's meeting, and as I was at the pastor's meeting, this is several months ago, there was a missionary that our church supports that I hadn't seen for a while, and man, I was excited to see him. And we locked eyes, and we connected, and we gave a hug. We actually embraced, and it was, man, it's so good to see you. Paul says, in that same way, if Onesimus walks through those doors, that's how you're supposed to receive him. Now, I want you to think about that. Because if Philemon's standing down here and Onesimus walks through the doors, there's a certain level of emotion and thought that floods the mind of Philemon. Right? He left me. He forsook me. He stole from me. And if we're in the flesh, it is going to be impossible to receive Onesimus the same way you would receive Paul. Does that make sense? This is like graduate level Christianity. This is serious. And Paul says, I understand what's happened. Paul doesn't deny it. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. But he makes an appeal based really upon the character of God. Philemon, you've been forgiven. Philemon, this man is a saved man now. He has been changed. He's more than a servant. He's above a servant. He is a brother beloved. And therefore, Philemon, you receive Onesimus in the same manner in which you would receive me. Now, I'll be honest with you. When you understand it this way, maybe we'd say something like this. Can you give me a minute to process this? If we'd be honest this evening. Give me a minute to process this. Let me deal with this. But as we're walking in the Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit, as we're dead to self, God will enable us to do what He's instructed us to do. Jesus, how often should we forgive? Till seven times? Jesus said, no, not till seven times. but till 70 times 7. How am I going to do that? You're not going to do it in your flesh, I guarantee you. But as we walk in the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit, God will enable us. And Paul says to Philemon, receive him, receive Onesimus as myself. In the same manner, Philemon, the same excitement, the same kind of embrace that you'd have for me, that's why I want you to receive Onesimus. We need God's help to do that. Listen, we cannot do that on our own. We need God's help. And we're reminded as we look at a book like this, we're reminded how much we need him. I need thee every hour, the songwriter said. Oh, we do. We need him. Amen? Receive him as myself. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God, the truth contained therein. And I know the text of Scripture before us is challenging. But I thank you, God, for giving us an example, a situation that took place, that has been recorded, some instruction that's been provided, that shows us what forgiveness and reconciliation really looks like. God, I thank you that you forgave me. And I thank you that you continue to forgive me. And God, I pray that this matter of forgiveness would not just be something that we talk about in theory, but be something that is practiced in our lives. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We pray that you'd be exalted and magnified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need